Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening. And good evening, everybody who's tuning in right now. This is Ricky here in Georgia. I'm going to open up the gate and let Josh come in from Washington State. Let me unlock this gate here real quick. All right, Josh, come on in.
Nice, buddy. I like that. Actually, my phone cut out, so I was unsure what was going on there.
Right.
Awesome. hopefully I'm not going to go in and out here because I appear to have a somewhat crappy connection, but it'll be all right.
Hey, you doing good? How's it going?
Man? How's your week?
Oh. Not too bad. Usual working and junk. How about you?
Same crap. Hey, we do the same job, so you definitely understand that it's a crappy most days. It's okay.
That's why we do this stuff here, to get a bit of distraction. So let's dive on in. What do you got for us?
It's an outlet is what it is. Yes. Oh, we're talking about so you're going to try to talk about the Anunnaki and Atlantis connection and see if there's actually a connection there. And as I've dived back into the material on this, I've definitely realized that this information comes from a wide variety of sources, and there's a lot to sift through, a lot more than I was actually expecting.
Yeah, I bet.
Been kind of cool. I love I popped open my old Emerald Tablets of Thoth, the Atlantean book that I printed out. I don't know why I decided I was going to print this all on individual paper. It's like it's like 300 pages of notebook paper. I printed it out at work a long time ago. Don't tell anybody. Not here. Not my current job.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez. But yeah, so Thoth, I think, it's a really important thing to know who that is. So we know him also, him as the Egyptian god of the divine measure is what they called him. I called him the god of knowledge last time, and I was wrong. As I reread it, I think it was Ra that was called the god of knowledge, and Thoth was the divine measure. But anyway, So how he relates to this story is very important because he's the one that supposedly went to Atlantis to found it to begin with, as each one of the siblings of the gods, whatever, when they divided up the earth to give each one of them control areas, he is one of the ones, this is the area that he was given. And that's why they were proclaimed to have such an advanced level of technology and civilization. Essentially they became, according to many researchers like Billy Carson and them, they became literally a worldwide civilization. And honestly, they are direct, direct. We came essentially from them. It was the major civilization right before we started our current era, back when the Sumerians, it's fascinating because as I've read into this and then read into the Law of One talking about it, I've learned more than I knew before. And there's other sides of the story that I didn't realize, and that's what I like to do. I like to go back and reread stuff and see, what more I can see. And that's what is, I think, really important to the awakening process, is to really look at it from a different perspective each time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And 'cause when I read this stuff, it was many, many years ago before I learned. As I've learned more about our history, I also get more confused because there is no simple answer. There really isn't.
I wish there was.
You got a complex, grouping of many, many different sources over the years, and you just kind of got to take little bits from each one and see how it goes.
That's all you can do.
The funny thing about how I got hooked on the idea of Atlantis is I watched when I started watching Disney movies, because I watch Disney movies with my kids all the time, I started looking for the background messages they have in these movies. And since I was a kid, I always noticed them. They're really trying to teach you really deep stuff in Disney movies that most people don't look for. And I came across that Atlantis movie, and I was watching it in the beginning, and I was like, holy crap, you know, because in the very beginning of the movie, they talk about how it was sank, basically. And, you know, it was something I didn't catch, and, like, I watched it over and over again, and then I realized that it actually, they had to have known what they were talking about, because some of the stuff in the movie literally comes from the Emerald Tablets of Philip the Atlantean, who also was Hermes. So there's also a tablet of Hermes, you know, the Greek god Hermes. These are all the same, the same people. And in the Sumerian, he was Ninjas Zitta. So this is all the same person over time. They changed their names over time. How it was in the ancient times, like, your name changed based on what you did. Like, it's like the Native Americans, you know, they do crazy stuff, and then they get these, you know, they get names based on that. Like, that's been a case all over the world. Like, Alexander the Great, for example, you know, we got the Great in his name, or just anything, any of those kind of titles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it turns out that's what it is. Like, it's three different people. He's both Ninjas Zitta and Hermes, as well as Thoth.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that.
The tablet, the cuneiform Sumerian text, like, it says that he is the one that built the Great Pyramid. And before he did that, he built a smaller one next to it as a skit. And, I mean, he could be taking credit for it. And, you know, that, who knows. But, like, what many people don't realize, I don't know if I mentioned it before, is, like, how perfect the pyramids really are.
Yeah.
Like, do we talk about this last?
You mentioned it.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I just want to drive that point into people's heads, is that they are literally a mathematical impossibility. Like, people have researched them, and they literally contain the mathematics of the Earth. That's the thing. Like, the pyramid dimension, like, you do a certain mathematical problem, you get the whole dimensions of the Earth. And then many other things. Like, according to some, like, you can use the pyramid, like, the pathways to actually... It's a time predictor. It's like a forecaster of future events. And, like, people have decoded it. There's a book called The Great Pyramid Decoded. And, like, they say that it pretty well accurately predicts quite a bit of our history. Hey, you know, it's a fun rabbit hole to drive down, really.
Let's jump on in.
Definitely a fun. So if many people don't know who Atlantis or what Atlantis is, I'm sure people have all heard, you know, bits and pieces over time, but the, you know, Plato was the one that actually coined the idea of Atlantis. Like, it comes, you know, the philosopher Plato. And honestly, some people have written it off like it's just ramblings of a storyteller, but, like, I guess in the original maps that Christopher Columbus used, it was actually all on these maps, and I've not been able to quite find an answer to that, or if it's, like, really true, but it is written down in a lot of these different sources I've been looking at. They say that it was in the old maps, just like how, if you look in the old maps, Antarctica at one point was ice-free, and it was included in these old maps that have been surfaced over online. And so there's a couple possible locations for Atlantis. One of them, a lot of people believe, is Antarctica. And they've shown that Antarctica, like, had evidence that it was once a tropical climate. And somehow it got buried under all the ice. The idea that most people have, it was a pole shift that did it.
Yep, I've heard that.
And that's, you know, that's pretty fascinating, really, to think about. It's something I've thought about for a long time, because there's a large interest in Antarctica. For those that don't know, like, just about every single developed country has a base there, including the Germans, who still have a base there from World War II. You know, Hitler made a base there. Why did he make a base there during World War II? Like, it's up in the air. Like, the mainstream idea is, you know, it was like I think he was going to escape there, or he was going to, you know, use it as a launching point to do a sneak attack. But, you know, all the, in the conspiracy stuff, you can get, there's all sorts of stuff that stems from this. The Hollow Earth idea, the, you know, they're down there guarding the entrance to the Hollow Earth. They found, you know, remnants of the continent of Atlantis. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those things you got to sift through all the different data to know what is true and what isn't true. But the fact remains is they still have a base there, and all these other countries have bases there, and it's like it's off limits. You can't just go to it. You can't go to Antarctica.
You have to
get permission. And, like, they do tours, but what they're doing on these tours is just looking at penguins. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's, like, hundreds of sworn statements from people, like, saying that there's just massive amounts of UFO sightings down in Antarctica. There's UFOs seen coming and going from these, like, special holes in the ice that they built for this stuff. So, I mean, somebody was saying that there, I think you've heard about this when we were talking about, that there's, like, a Stargate there.
Yep.
And for those that don't know what a Stargate is, it's like a way to travel to, you know, it's like a wormhole to travel this. You've seen the show Stargate. That's what it's like.
Right. In the movie. Like, the movies.
Yeah, right. Stargate, SG-1.
It's based on some truth.
Like, no, yeah, that's a lot of, a lot of science fiction. One of the shows, again, I watched, I told you about it before, is called Hollywood Decoded on Gaia. And they talk about how stuff is intentionally released into science fiction for a number of reasons. One is predictive programming. Two is so that if somebody ever comes out with the idea, hey, there's this crazy Stargate, they're going to be like, oh, you've seen that in a show. Bam. See, then it discredits anybody trying to come forward with that information. That's part of the control scheme.
That's a good point.
That's why they do it.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, this is, again, definitely a subject that's really fascinating to look into. Because, I mean, you can go down the rabbit hole for hours on Atlantis. But the time frame on when, like, it was a major civilization is debated. So the consensus I seem to have is it was before the Great Flood. So the Great Flood is generally coined to have happened right around, like, 11,000 B.C., like right around that time frame is when it was supposed to have happened. So they say this existed right around 13,000 BC in that general area. And what became of them is they scattered around. Some of them went to South America. Some of them went to, what is it, Russia. Anyway, they... but yeah, anyway, they scattered after the destruction and went
everywhere.
And according to the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, when it was destroyed, he himself went to the land of Cam. The land of Cam, according to a lot of scholars, is Egypt. And there he started interacting with the Egyptian priesthood. Or, no, he ended up establishing the Egyptian priesthood, because obviously... Wait. He's losing my mind.
Sounds like we're getting a pretty bad reception here.
Oh, are we getting bad reception? My bad, man.
You're kind of cutting in and out. It's not horrible, but it's there.
Connection to my house is tend to be pretty bad today. But I'll try not to move around.
We'll
is it working well right now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good now.
We'll push. I'll stop moving around. so one of the... That was... I want to talk about those. So, again, there's all sorts of different versions of how Atlantis was destroyed. So in The Law of One, which is a book series I've been really fascinated about in the on the philosophical side of it, says mm-hmm. that it was destroyed due to war. So essentially, a massive war broke out, which also is talked about in the Sumerian tablets. You know, all the family members were warring with one another, trying to prove who was going to be the supreme ruler of the earth. You know what I mean? That's where our warlike instincts come from. Is from them. Like, this sounds really familiar when you really read this stuff. It's like, okay, so that's why we all want to kill each other all the time.
Right.
We want to be like, my species, my side of the species is better than your side of the species. My God is better than your God.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they say that in The Wild One, they say that it was destroyed due to war, and then they were scattered about. And the Book of Enoch, the Book of Enoch and the Emerald Tablets, it says that it was destroyed due to a flood. Essentially, I mean, the Emerald Tablets is really, so if you really read the Emerald Tablets of both, you have to read it and then read it again and read it again and kind of like decode it, because it's in really thick language. It's kind of like the Bible, but like harder to understand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, yeah.
So that's why there's a book I bought a while back one of the first books I bought in a long time, like a few years ago, it had been one of the first books, was the Compendium of the Emerald Tablets. So the Billy Carson guy, like, he's done a crap ton of research, and he put together the Emerald Tablets, which were already translated by a guy named Doriel, and which I had read before that. But he puts in like an explanation of the passages. Like, he puts in, and then he puts like the scientific studies based on that. And it's pretty fascinating. It's something else to check out if you want to get a good idea of who, cause it's really all about who Thoth is, or Ninja Siddha, or Hermes, because they're all, again, the same person.
Yeah, and Hermes always fascinated me, too.
Right. And like, they have, there's a, what is the tablet called that they found of his? Like, what was it? It's, I don't remember. It was like a specific tablet of Hermes, but you read it and you can tell that it's obviously just essentially the condensed version of this older Sumerian thing, as is the case for most of our stuff. And again, the Bible has, I don't know if it mentions, Atlantis at all. I feel like there's some, it like alludes to it at some point. I mean, it alludes to a lot of things that most people miss. Like, I need to look through that part again. That was going to be one of my things, but I've been short on time this week to look for it.
No worries. We're doing this on a weekly thanks. We got plenty of time.
Right. And the other part about it, like, the other idea for where possible Atlantis would be right where the Bermuda Triangle is. So many people say that the island, or it's supposed to be an island, but it's a continent or whatever, sunk. And so they had this great technology, and they also had pyramids. So if you look into the subject, in the center of the Bermuda Triangle, apparently there's a sunken pyramid, and they've been finding all sorts of monuments and whatnot down there. And
the
pyramid and the way the pyramids work, according to like a lot of people in this underground community, believe that that's why the Bermuda Triangle has such crazy happenings, because the pyramids are more than what we think they are. They're not just tombs. They were literally like energy generators, and they were, according to the Law of One, they were balancing the earth. They were, you know, redirecting, you know, taking energy from the earth and redirecting it outward, thus balancing, I guess. So I guess apparently it was off its axis down there, and that's what's causing the distortions. You know, all the people talking about how there's tons and tons of examples of like planes disappearing for bits of time, coming back forward in time. Like, there's a nuts amount of stuff on that.
Yeah, it goes on. Although it seems like it's been pretty quiet lately as far as being reported and so much, but like a few years ago, it was just tons of stuff going on out there.
Right. Lately, I mean, I would assume that people probably just, out of fear, avoid that area. That's why we have less, you know, stories
probably
about
so.
It. Because I certainly am not going to want to fly through somewhere where I may not come back out of, you know what I mean?
Depends where you end up, but yeah.
And then there are those who say that, you know, them saying that is because they want us to keep out of there. I mean, that could be it too, man. That could be, I mean, if it is the remnants of a lost civilization with advanced technology, of course they would want it.
That's your tactic,
Right, and the, my personal idea, I think that both Antarctica and, like, the Bermuda Triangle area are literally part of it. Like, I think that it was an empire. Like, Billy Carson, when in some of his stuff, talks about it being literally an empire, a worldwide empire.
Yeah. And just to add to that, if you don't mind, Dolores Cannon, I bet it's in her stuff. she talks about it too, that Atlantis wasn't just, you know, this one little island. It was actually, like you just said, a global empire. And one of her things is, we move to Triangle as well, is that they use crystals as part of their technology. And when it sank, one of those crystals is still down there. And once in a while, it activates or something, and it causes, you know, those things to happen.
There it is. That's the that's the other part of what they were talking about, like being in that pyramid or whatever, the crystal down there. Like, that's that. Man, it gave me the tingles. I need to read her stuff now, too.
She's good. She's good.
Yeah, man. And there's a lot of reasons why, like, I think that Antarctica should be a subject of interest. I mean, there's a ton. Like,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
During President Obama's inauguration day, like, there was the vice president was down there skiing on top of a pyramid. Essentially, they've unearthed a pyramid down there. And, like, mm-hmm. There's pictures of it online. Like, what would the vice president be doing in Antarctica on the inauguration day of the president, right?
Yeah.
Many other reasons. Like, there's a lot of great interest in that area. And, like, again, if these ancient peoples had super advanced technology, like they say, it stands to rest that the government would want that. Each one of the governments would want that for themselves. And that's why they're all down there, right?
There's a treaty right now with all these countries, and each country has their own law that is illegal to go into Antarctica.
Is that the Treaty of Versailles?
Sounds right.
What one was that?
It makes you think, why would they all come together in that instance when they're constantly at war with each other, but in this one situation, they all agree and come together on that?
No, it's just the Antarctica Treaty. Versailles sounded cooler, but I'm sure that the Versailles comes from somewhere else. But anyway, yeah, that's it's like a ceasefire thing, right? It's like a demilitarized zone preserved for scientific research, according to this. That's interesting.
Makes you think.
Or, like, I mean, you could even say that maybe there's something more to that. You know, the flat earth idea, that's what all the base people are down there to protect the ice wall. I mean, hey, man, like, again, that's not a path I generally want to go down, but I have to keep my mind open.
I mean, I don't want to say I agree 100% myself, but, I mean, it does fit if you look at both sides to a flat or spherical planet, you know, saying the ice walls keep the oceans from, you know, spilling over and whatnot. But if you look at it from both sides with an open mind, they both could fit. And we don't know because we don't have a way of going up there and seeing for ourselves.
Right. Generally we are subject to being told everything we know by everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Been the way since the beginning of time.
Well, one thing I do think, though, is that if the Earth is flat or not, the Earth is not what we're told anyway, regardless. If it is a sphere, which it's we're still not being told exactly what the Earth is. I think it's a lot bigger than we're told. Because there was that one expedition back in the day, I forget the guy's name, where he flew into Antarctica, and he said once he got past the ice wall,
Admiral Byrd.
Yep, that's it. And he was saying that it was the size of the United States with all these green fields and open country.
Right, and to add to that idea, so it's not as far-fetched as many people would think that to go the idea of the whole hollow earth, inner earth type deal. Are you still there? Sorry, I got quiet.
No, you're good.
So if you, in recent, like not even, I think it was like a month ago in China, they had this sinkhole open up in the ground or whatever. And inside was literally an intact ancient forest with its own ecosystem, living animals and all that stuff. And like, this has just been like, how just inside the ground, man. Like,
right.
And that's what they say, like the whole hollow earth idea. So I don't necessarily think that the earth is completely hollow. However, there is all sorts of evidence that the earth is like honeycombed. Like it has like giant cave systems and giant underground areas that could be inhabited. So is there completely hollow? No, I think you can combine the ideas and get a more, prominent picture because there's you know, tons of stories talking about people going to underground and in the Four Corners area of the southern United States, there's a tribe. What is the tribe? Anyway, their creation story, I'll come up with the tribe in a minute. Their creation story is that they went underground and walked, you know, essentially walked for a long time, took a journey, and then came up. So the cave systems from Four Corners literally go all the way down, according to lots of these scientists, go all the way down to South America. Like, so essentially what happened is that these tribes went underground. That's why there's certain tribes that apparently just disappeared off the face of the earth. You know, they went underground to escape something and resurfaced somewhere far away, right?
Right.
By the instruction of some, you know, random deity, they went underground and did this. You know, the same deity that had been instructing mankind from – same deities, I should say – that have been telling mankind what to do and where to go since forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and add on even to that, too, if you think about it, considering they're telling us the truth about the geology of the Earth, the crust that we're on right now is, what, kilometers and kilometers, miles and miles, you know, deep before we even get to the next, you know, what a mantle is and all that stuff. But who knows what all is down there.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's... like, if you go look into, like, Cusco, Peru, and stuff like that, there's actually cave systems that they've had to shut off to the public because they're so vast that people get lost in them and never return. And, again, this is, like, something that they've sealed off to the public, and apparently they go forever. Like, they've not found the ends of these caves. And, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely into cave exploration. That's been one of my secret things I like to do when I go out exploring the world is do cave stuff. I love going into caves and like
I'm too close to
all sorts
for that.
Of crazy stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does get.
If I
can
stand up straight
scary.
And walk around. If I got to crawl into a tiny space that I can barely fit in, then no thanks.
Yeah, no, these they're talking about like these caves being outrageously big. Like, you know, the ones in South America are huge. Like, can fit.
I do that
cities in and stuff.
Oh, okay. That'd be a fun.
That would be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's these limestone caves in, I think it's like the Midwest or something like that. I've been in some of them, and like they're just massive, man. And like some of them, they used to blow or try to. I think it's dolomite they were looking at or something like that. I don't remember, but like they essentially dynamited them, made them even bigger.
Wow. Well, I see these pictures of where they go into these underground caverns or whatever you call them, and they're these giant crystals, you know, quartz crystals. But it's such a hazardous environment. They got to wear hazmat suits down there. But these massive, like, huge quartz crystal, you know, things are just down there. There's actual pictures you can find of those.
Well, heck yeah. That sounds cool as heck.
Now, have you seen that movie,
I mean,
though, or The Core, that movie The Core?
No, like, I believe you told me to watch that recently, and I have, I'm going to add that to my list of things to watch now. There's a couple of different things I need to watch, like the Moonfall one, and...
Oh, I'm still waiting to see that, too. But The Core, it's possible. Actually, The Core becomes unstable, and because of that, all these massive, you know, geostorms start happening all over the planet. So the concept is they got to go down to the core and basically jumpstart it. And when they go down there, there are these huge, you know, like geodes and stuff, but the pressure is so intense. And, you know, they have to have a special kind of ship that they used to go into the Earth with. It's really good.
Yeah, that's definitely sounds fascinating to me. Like, again, I think our knowledge of the Earth itself is, you know, is only... it's human, you know what I mean? We can only know as much as we can test, right? That's really all science is, you know, is the five senses test. And, like,
yeah.
Outside of that, we don't have very much knowledge, unless you, again, combine the science and spirituality aspects.
Well, another rabbit hole we can go to in a different episode, of course, is when Dolores Cannon talks about channeling one guy. She puts him under hypnosis. And while doing that, he's able to remote view And there's supposedly a cave or a hole somewhere that they can't get the bottom of. So he has to get a remote view down there. And when he gets down there, he comes face to face with reptilians. And they can actually see him, even though he's out of his body, and chase him back up out of the hole.
Right. There's definitely a lot of stories about like those type of beings inhabiting the underworld. And like, according to Law One, like they speak about those group, that group heavily, as the Orion Confederation. Like they're essentially just like you have God, and then you have the idea of the devil. There's a positive and a negative source, you know, negative
yeah.
in the world. And the negative feeds on, you know, all the emotions of all the bad stuff of society, right? Greed, jealousy, anger, hatred, all that kind of stuff. And essentially it gives them power. So
right.
it's part of the reason, you know, that I believe that we're actually kept in these constant states of fear through the news and constant media manipulation is because it's driving something bigger than we can possibly imagine.
It makes sense. And they're saying these shapeshifters are actually in the government. Like I say, this is a different rabbit hole. But there's like video footage of showing like celebrities or politicians, whether for like a split second their eyes change or something changes, like their camouflage is wearing off or something. But I find it fascinating too. They could be out there.
Yeah, that's it. That's, man, that's one of them rabbit holes that, like, I like to go down it. Like, there's a, you know, David Icke is one that pushes that one pretty heavily. Alex Jones was talking about that. I'd like to mention that, dude. I think he's – a lot of what he's doing is trying to sell something to somebody, you know what I mean? I do – again, I do believe in a lot of conspiracy stuff, a whole bunch of it, but not a sit out whether it's dark or good, because there's stuff that's intentionally put out there
yeah.
to cloud the others, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's lots of, you know, depictions of these lizard folks in many of the ancient cultures too. You know, the
yep.
different tribes in South America all had depictions of them.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to mention is the idea. So you change the, when we do our weekly talks, like you change it to the, you know, the extra ET influence on early man, right? Or the creation of what, I forgot what it's called.
The extraterrestrial influence on the origins of man, basically.
There it is. Don't judge me, all right? I'm a little tired here.
No worries. Man.
But yeah, like, that's a really big subject, and I'm glad that we're going with that idea, because, like, again, it's more than just the Anunnaki who had an influence on mankind. You know, there's depictions all over the world. Like, so in Australia, the Aborigines had depictions on their walls of the, what they called the Wangina, I believe it's called, but they looked like greys that they had, you know, drawn on the wall. So, and again, the Dogons had these beings come to them, according to them, from Sirius, and their depictions of them were different. They were not human looking at all. So again, I think that the story of Earth is so complex, and we had so many different interactions with different
yeah.
beings over time that it's caused so much chaos on Earth. You know, Earth is really just like one giant science project.
it basically is, yeah. And you make a good point. Like, supposedly they're what they call the Galactic Federation, where all these different alien species, you know, work together. And I've heard through different resources that the Earth is under quarantine, so other entities aren't allowed to come here and freely expose themselves.
Right, and that's according to like a law one that said that had to happen because of the sheer amount of, you know, ET sources mixing with humans and doing stuff that they shouldn't have been doing, and thus breaking the free will, the law of free will. So
yeah.
That's a lot of the reasons why, like, I guess with this quarantine idea is that, like, you know, violating, you can't violate the law of free will. That's why, you know, if enough people don't believe in something, you know what I mean? You can't force them to believe. That's breaking free will.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the things in that freaking, I don't know why I'm going back to this, but the Lucifer show, like God mm-hmm. could not tell his son that he loved him. It's because he can't do that. He can't physically be like, I love you, because that's violating the free will. And it sounds crazy, but like, you got to look for it in all the things that are in your life. You know what I mean? You're looking, you got to just know, like,
yeah.
I know that I'm loved by the infinite force, God, right? Like,
right.
Regardless. And when I say stuff like that, it gives me energy up in my soul. That's why people get, you know, feelings like that when they talk to God or stuff like that, because like, we're connected. It's bringing that
yeah.
connection back to the source.
Yeah,
and you don't, it doesn't matter which version of God you believe in, you know, as long as you're coming from the heart space, the heart chakra, and actually
mm-hmm.
trying to talk.
Yeah, you're right. Like I said, at that Lucifer show, another one of my favorite shows is Supernatural. You know, of course, in one of their seasons, Lucifer is around too. And even there, he's portrayed as a victim. And then he was created
right.
to be the devil. He had no free will or choice. He had to be the devil.
I mean, there's like all sorts of different versions of that story too. You know, I'm not really... Like, again, in the Severian they essentially...
We're starting to lose you again.
Oh, sorry. Bam, okay. This crappy connection in my house. All right. Yeah, so, like, there's all sorts of different weird versions of, like, the devil story. I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm honestly not 100% sure on that one. That's cool with me, you know what I mean? As I learn more, read more, like, my eyes on that one open. I'm like, hey, so I guess the only thing I'm really sure is that the biblical story of the, you know, the Garden of Eden with the snake and stuff, that was
mm-hmm.
that was definitely they're demonizing the person trying to save them. And
right.
it flipped. That's the thing that, you know, the snake is actually the good guy. And
God's the bad guy.
The irony
yeah,
is, like,
too.
So if you look into medical science, right, there's always the snake symbol for in medicine,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So that's coincidentally in the Sumerian versions of all these stories, that was his symbol, was the snake, because he was advanced in medical knowledge and genetics. So I find it kind of crazy, you know, that's the snake in the Garden of Eden, right? I think
mm-hmm.
I think it's a bit coincidental. Coincidence don't exist.
You're right. I know we're cutting off topic a little bit here. Did you want to go back into the Atlantis thing?
Yeah, we have definitely. yeah, there's, again, like, I haven't, didn't have enough time, as much time as I wanted to research into this week because of work and trying to get the kids ready for school.
That is fine. We can come
so
back to that later. We can talk about something else. That's perfectly fine, too.
I mean, I definitely like to talk about it. Like, I'm just trying mm-hmm. to think of anything else, like, I haven't covered. So we talked about, you know, they have advanced knowledge of crystals. I mean, I can read some Law of One quotes to talk about Atlantis, and it's kind of fascinating, but like, we're trying to do the connection between the Anunnaki and Atlantis. you know, again, like, I guess according to the books, they split the world into several places, some went there. And I like the idea in the Law of One, because they talk about the war that happened. I think that's probably end up how they were all destroyed, because like these were all, they were always warring with each other. Like again, like
yeah.
in the Sumerian tablets, they talk about how each of the brothers wanted to be supreme. Marduk, which is actually the son of Enki. I thought he was the son of Enlil, which I said on the last episode and I was wrong. So Marduk and Ninja Sitter or Thoth are the sons of Enki.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually at one point, I guess, Marduk was given control over the earth, which was like around the time of the Babylonians and Sodom and Gomorrah era, and they guess had gotten into another war and ended up, that's when they bombed Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever and freaking ended up destroying themselves pretty much.
Yeah. There's a lot to dive into for sure. I mean, the subject of Atlantis on its own, I mean, everybody's basically heard of Atlantis, but they don't know the full story. I mean, neither do we, but it's definitely worth checking into or discussing.
Right. Like, the idea is that it's weird that it's like, I don't know, man. It's like there's so many stories that it sank. There's so many stories that it, like, you know, that they were messing with something that they shouldn't have been. So that is another thing. That's what it was. Like, in the tablets of Thoth, they said that they were doing something that they shouldn't have been doing and brought – where is it at? Like, they brought it on themselves is essentially what he's talking about. Like, they were messing with stuff that they shouldn't have been messing with.
And Dolores Cannon says the same thing.
Like, what was it? I think they were – I don't know.
According to Dolores Cannon, they were experimenting with cross genetics, like making hybrids of certain beings, you know, like just things they shouldn't have been doing, and enslaving these beings. And supposedly the good guys of Atlantis didn't like that. So they somehow got destroyed by something to stop it off from, you know, continuing to happen.
Yeah, I need to definitely read that one too. That sounds solid. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in the Law of One source, when they talk about how, like, you know, it was essentially ended up being a war, that would correlate with that pretty well. They were definitely messing with something dark. I mean, again, both he was Ninja Zitta. He was one of the ones that helped in the original creation of man. Like, he was part of Enki's team. Like, he was alongside him the whole way trying to perfect their genetic stuff. So it would... It would make sense that he was trying to do the same thing in Atlantis as well. And it's not even just that, man. There's all sorts of freaking evidence all over the world that was happening that, like, it wasn't just, you know, at one point in time they created these slaves. Like, they took these slaves all around the world.
That's kind of what I got the story of the centaurs and the chimera. Supposedly they were creating these type of beings, and that's where those stories came from.
Right. Yeah, so this thing says, like, this other source says, like, it existed 13,000 years ago, and it was, like, 10,000 years before Plato. This is a funny little thing about Anunnaki. I guess I was, like, pretty close. Like, the descriptions of the Anunnaki said they were about 10 to 12 feet in height, looked like men, and had a lifespan, like, according to this, like 300,000 years. I mean, that seems about probably right, man. I mean, 300,000, 400,000 years, so, like, of Earth years, because their planet, I don't know.
Well, that's,
like,
the thing, too.
Again,
is it a year for here, or is it the year for them? I mean, even in Buddhism, well, I put it this way, in biblical versions, angels are eternal, but in Buddhism, angels eventually die, but they can live to be hundreds of thousands of years old. That kind of fits as well.
Right. That, I mean, that does essentially make sense. I mean, like, just because, like, they're angelic beings doesn't necessarily mean, like, they are inhabiting flesh, right? So, like, they would still be... their, you know, their consciousness, their soul is, like, what is going to be eternal anyway, but they can incarnate here on Earth. Like, I mean, they definitely would have to have lived for quite a long time because, like, essentially, if they got here, like, 400,000 years ago, like, and are, you know, responsible not only for that time period, but, like, the happenings for all these different civilizations, like, man, that's a span of 400,000 years. Like, they had to have been, you know, essentially dang near eternal. And,
well, they also say that we're the only beings that use time in the way that we use time, and that everywhere else, they're all beyond time. So for them, maybe 100,000 years, because the time doesn't exist, it's just another day.
I mean, that does make sense. I mean, they said that, so according to their stories, like, their planet or whatever made one rotation around the sun every 3,600 years.
Right.
So, right. And, you know, it's, I think it's really our understanding of, like, everything, like you just said about time and everything is just, you know, based on what we know. Like, like maybe this is, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but.
Well, it makes sense, because what's the first thing they teach you in school? How to tell time and read a clock.
Right, so we're constantly watching time and constantly.
We're asleep to it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like,
you only have 24 hours
basically
in a day.
Counting down.
Yeah. You go to work, you're like, oh, man, I got to be for 8 hours, you know. And what program to think that way?
Right. Yeah. Man, was one of the, what was I talking about? Remember the movie,
we're starting to lose you.
Oh, man, that's crappy connection.
There you go. You're back now. You said something about a movie?
Oh, yeah, I was talking about the Atlantis movie, because, like, in that movie, like,
yep.
They had the crystal was essentially their whole energy source. Like, in the end of the movie, like, they took the crystal out, and, like, their everything was going away, and then their eternal life was gone. Like, these people started to age really fast. And that's the other thing they said that they had, the ability to do with this crystal technology in Atlantis and all that, and even in the original Sumerian stories of it, is that they could not only heal people, but they could regress, age regression, like transfer consciousness into something, into another body. And that's what a lot of people think that the idea of the mummification was for, is so they could eventually come back, or maybe like they were going to come back and transfer their consciousness into a different body later. But something along those lines, like the idea of mummification has always tripped me out. Like there's no explanation as to why they would just, why? Like, first of all,
the
hell
complex
talk to
them? Thing. They took out all the organs. Right. They took the brain out. I mean, it's such a complex thing to do. Yeah.
Right. So definitely, man, so like, without a doubt, to answer the question on, like, isn't there a connection between the Anunnaki and Atlantis, I absolutely think there is. Like, without a doubt, like, I think that, like, the connection is cloudy as far as, like, exactly who it was. But, I mean, I'm pretty confident that it was, you know, Ninja Zit or Thoth, as he's called, that did it. Before he came to Egypt to be known as Thoth, he was called Ninja Zit, so that's what it would be. There's definitely no doubt. And I think one of the other things that they were doing that's pretty controversial is, like, human sacrifice. That's what they ended up starting to do in Egypt as well, and they did in South America. Like, originally, these pyramids were supposed to be used for healing, and they were corrupted when these people started using them for human sacrifice stuff, and probably using that to genetically splice, like, than you said, Dolores Cannon was talking about.
Yeah. And even in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices for God. It wasn't humans, but they sacrificed animals.
Right, exactly. Sacrificed animals and, did a burnt offerings and all that kind of stuff. Offered food, gold, you know, all the stuff that humans would want.
Yep.
Always kind of interesting. I remember I told you I've been rereading the Slave Species to the Gods book. And, like, I've been trying to power through as much of it as I can to get on the subject. And, like, I couldn't find or get to any parts on Atlantis in that part. And then, like, again, trying to use stuff from the Emerald Tablets. It's like, man, I can read this to you, but, like, are people really going to get what I'm talking about? Because you got to read the whole thing, because it kind of leads up to it. This is just, like, one of the tablets, and it talks about Atlantis. They talk about how they had this divine power possessed by the joint will of the divine love and wisdom. Like, so in the – I just should have got my little cheat sheet book that I had. Because he goes into the explanation. They talk about crystal technology. They talk about their ability to, you know, extend their lives and, like what I just said a minute ago, transfer consciousness. And I guess, according to this, they actually give coordinates for it. So, like, that's what they – in the in the Emerald Tablets books, the cuneiform tablets, all the Sumerian stuff, like the way they describe where stuff is, like, you know, like I would describe how to get to the store. You take a left at the second tree, you know, like
right.
the end of the two rivers, you know. Mm-hmm. And this one, they, what do they talk about? So, you know, I also find it interesting is that, like, they all talk about when they tell their stories, they believe that there is one creator God too, even these
yeah.
advanced beings, you know, that were creating us. And, like, they actually argued amongst each other whether it was the right thing to do to clone something because it's essentially playing God. And one of the ideas was, if we have that ability, doesn't that mean that it's meant to be? Like, you know what I mean? If
mm-hmm.
God didn't want us to do it, why would he have given us the ability to do it? And
yeah.
that's what they ended up going with. You know, is it destiny or is it fate?
Right.
But it's crazy that these advanced beings were doing the exact same things as we are, you know, like destiny versus fate. You know, if you have the knowledge, should you act on that knowledge? Because, I mean, we've been cloning animals since we learned how to do it. And that's a fascinating thing, man.
That we know of. I'm sure there's
right,
stuff I don't even know
animals.
Of right now. Yeah, exactly.
They're definitely cloning people, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. No
like,
doubt.
I have zero doubt that they're cloning people. And, like, people, they'll laugh it off. But, like, it's.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's crazier to not believe that they would use that ability if they had it.
Yeah, people would say it's immoral, so they keep it hidden.
I think there's more stuff like that going on than I guess anybody's prepared to hear, man. Like,
yeah,
how much of these black budget projects are being used for that stuff? And like, man, I don't know, man. I've been wanting since I've learned about like the idea that Atlantis could be in Antarctica. I've been wanting to go down there for a long time, man. I would love like. There's actually met up with somebody who came through my job, and he talked about. I told you about it because he came. Like, right after you moved down there, like, I ran into this guy who started talking. It's just completely random stuff, right? Coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
You run into somebody who is, he says that, like, he said there's all sorts of areas you're not allowed to go to. Like, all sorts of military-controlled areas. Like, you know, you have to get permits to go everywhere, and you have to get additional permits. So you got to get a permit and permission just to go there. And then you got to
yeah.
get additional permits and everything just, you know, to go anywhere. It's like a crazy amount of paperwork and takes super, super long, like years.
And
to get
why? I mean, quote unquote, there's nothing there but ice.
Exactly. Nothing there but ice. And
what's the high?
Exactly. Like, I mean, have you ever read in all that stuff on the, that you look into all the Google Earth images of, because people be Google Earthing, freaking Antarctica all the time, and they find all sorts of crap on Google Earth. And like, that's a fun rabbit hole
yeah.
to go down. And like, I don't know, man. I definitely feel like there's a lot more to that one. There's definitely something there, and I think that they know it. I think it's they call it in the one of the ancient civilizations. They talk about the missing pre-Adamite civilization. So you know, pre-Adamite was, according to them, it's like the civilization that ended or existed before Adam.
Yeah.
Again, attributed to the Anunnaki.
Well, here's a good one. They say Adam was the first human, but what if Adam was the first created human?
That's a pretty solid or outside the box way of looking at that. I had not even thought of. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that could very well be the case. Like.
There are people using it, but they already existed. But Adam was the first one they created. And according to the Bible,
right.
he was created by God. So that kind of fits, too.
Yeah, so, like, again, I think that there's a ton of evidence that, like, say when the Anunnaki came here, that the Earth wasn't empty. It wasn't an empty, desolate, lifeless place. There could have been other beings living, and there could have been all sorts of stuff going on here. But, like,
mm-hmm.
they're just telling their story and their version of the story. And
right.
it's definitely intertwined with us. But, again, it's not the entire story. I think they're taking credit for a lot of it. And
yeah.
as many, you know, advanced nations would do. But I think it does give us a good indicator of where we really came from and what, you know, essentially you know, if we know where we come from, we can learn how to coexist in this world to do better things.
That is true. And on that, we're coming back to about 5 minutes left, another very fast hour. So let's go ahead and start wrapping up. I want you to go ahead and tell everybody about your podcast.
Oh, yeah, my podcast, The Synchronized Universe. It's three in the front, three in the middle, and three at the end. If you don't know how to spell synchronized, I can't help you.
There's links in my group, in a Facebook group.
Yep, and the Paranormal Truth Seekers Universal on Facebook. And also the Paranormal Truth Seekers podcast that Ricky does.
Yep.
Like I just did an episode talking about, you know, questioning everything you think you know.
I listened to it. It was great.
It's just, you know, I get these, essentially I just get ideas that pop into my head and do it. Like, honestly, I got the ADD, so I'm trying to be way more organized, and like I promised that on next week's show I will have far more bullet points and stuff to talk about because...
You're doing fine.
Yeah,
I've had a great time.
I definitely want to, because it's been so hard to find, I want to dig up way more stuff on Atlantis now.
yeah. All right, so we'll continue with the same subject on the next show coming up Tuesday at 10 p.m. next week. We'll keep diving into the Atlantis stuff. Not Atlanta, Atlantis.
I thought you were going to go, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. All right. Batman.
Exactly. All right, well, it's been great, Josh. I will catch you on the next show. I want to thank you again for joining
us.
We'll go ahead and open this gate and let you out.
I love it.
All right, catch you later, man.
Stage left. All right, bye.
That's right. See ya. All right, so now I want to give a quick shout-out to my audience here. Of course, Lisa, Jason, anybody who's listening, William, Glenn, of course, Leo, my family, Stephanie's listening. Shout out to you guys. I do want to use our hashtag ParaUnity that was given to me. Also do want to give a shout out to our Scanning the Frequencies, which you can find also as a live podcast on my Facebook group. And coming up next, well, this Saturday, actually, I'll be going and doing another show with Mr. William Glenn, our medium and psychic, and diving more into that, and expect a bunch more stuff coming up in September here. And of course, me and Josh will continue every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. If you did, go ahead and follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. There should be a follow button right there below where you're listening to us at. If you can catch us live, you can catch us in the archives. And also don't forget to check me out on YouTube, Paranormal Truth Seekers. I'm looking for subscribers to help give me your support so I can get some more views and likes on my videos there. More content is coming. This podcast here, I'll also be going to the YouTube channel once it finishes. It automatically updates there. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this show here, and I thank you all for coming. You have a great night, and I'll catch you on the next show.